So again, agenda today, welcome to our first sort of Crypto Tuesday. It is a goal for us to try to have a bigger emphasis on the security, privacy, and cryptography of our standards on the first Monday of each month. Joe or Kim, can you lead us through closing up our participants list?
Yes, I'm gathering area codes now. I'll list them later.
Okay. So we'll open with sort of a quick review. We're going to do our usual introductions and reintroductions. We're going to have some announcements. We're going to have some progress on our current action items and a review of a few of our work items, and then dive into our first Crypto Tuesday topics, which are the data minimization and selective disclosure item, and then try to prioritize the review of the various digital verification suites and set some priorities in general there. So to our agenda item, introductions, I think I see a few people that are here today that have not been at a prior one of our meetings. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, everyone. My name is Dan Pate. I'm working with Ryan Grant right now with digital contract design, doing some C++ programming. Just helping out, and I'm trying to learn what's going on.
Thank you much. Welcome, Dan. Hart, I see you in the IRC. Are you around? Any other new for the first time?
Hi, Danko is on. I've never listened in before. I'm eager to learn.
Can you say your name again? Sorry.
Hi, T-Y Danko, D-A-N-C-O.
Oh, I see. Well, welcome. Jan, do you want to do a reintroduction today? Tell us a little bit about yourself again. Okay. Well, we'll move forward. Some announcements. Next week's meeting, we're going to be focused on the topic of linked data capabilities. This is based on some discussions at the last rebooting Web of Trust of adding OCAP and some of the concepts from OCAP to our technology suites. There's a draft of the paper, actually the final version of the paper, is up at Rebooting Web of Trust. I encourage you to read that before next week. We have some events coming up. We have an implementers post the DID reconciliation drafts sometime this month, possibly the week of the 20th, I think. What was that date? 19th. We were talking about it. Let me know if you're interested in participating in that. Basic idea is to actually implement the changes that have been suggested in the DID reconciliation talks and try them out, make sure that they all fit. We're going to have a Rebooting Web of Trust March 6th through 9th in Santa Barbara, and optionally on March 5th there is a golf disc tournament in Santa Barbara. The URL for that is rwot6 at eventbrite.com. We have in April, on the 3rd through 5th, Eventbrite, identity workshop, et cetera. But basically, a number of us are going to be at the Internet Identity Workshop, and there's also planned to be a post-Internet Identity Workshop verifiable claims face-to-face on the Thursday, Friday at the end of the workshop. Are there any other announcements? Okay, Kim, did you have any last things for
Yes, actually, there were a few area codes that I didn't identify. I pasted them in, and there's some additions since then. 206, or and just speak up or type in IRC if you own one of these. Sorry, dog. 206-401-541-773-802. And there's a number I didn't recognize. Actually, this one, this 4144, et cetera. If any of those belong to you, please say which one in IRC.
Thank you very much. Our next agenda item is progress on action items. The first one has been the community as a whole to complete reconciliation of the the text from Rebooting Web of Trust and the hardening changes. Manu, how do you feel like we are on that? Is there still stuff remaining? What's required before we can call this agenda item done?
It's mostly done. I think we still have a bit of a discussion on the services stuff that's ongoing, part of the last call. I think we're in fairly good shape. My hope, the pull request was pulled in, I think, last week. I think we're in good shape. I think we're there's a one more kind of did finalization call that's focused on kind of services, service discovery, maybe fragment identifier. Like there's a couple of things kind of out there right now, but the spec's in a form now where people should be fairly confident at least implementing what's in the top part of the spec, especially in the examples. Clearly, Pro still needs to be cleaned up and things of that nature. But I think we're good. We continue to implement per the spec for Verus 1. Haven't hit any issues yet. And my hope is that other folks implementing will, raise any issues that they have as issues against the spec and proposed changes and things of that nature.
Okay. The Verus 1 method spec sometime this month, rough ETA or?
And end of month at the very earliest. But the implementation will lead the spec. So, we'll have a working implementation probably well before we have a updated and finalized spec there.
Okay. Other action items, the chair to add potential works items to the main CCG page. I don't believe that we've done that yet. Just double checking. We have some potential work items. We may need to clarify them, but I'm going to basically say that one is done. Kim, you were going to put the credentials community group WBS graphic on the landing page. That has not been done yet. Joe, have you sent the Rebooting Web of Trust details to the list?
I have not. That's a great question. So that can happen today. I need to incorporate the feedback from you and Shannon in the two things, and we'll do that in the MailChimp app today.
Okay. We were also adding data verification to the work to the WBS illustration, basically to clarify our data verification things. There was also creating a spec text version of the registries process. Manu had a draft that was approved on the mailing list, but we need a spec text version of that. I presume, Manu, you haven't gotten to that at this point. Just want to make sure it was on the agenda.
Not the process document.
Right. The Joe is owner of the CCG process. Manu is the owner of the registry process. Shares are going to create a VC examples repo, and Ryan has said that he would submit pull requests to update bad links. So those are all still pending items. On the work items, we have a pretty broad list of work items. I only wanted to talk about two. One we've already talked about, which was the registries process work item. But I did want to ask David, do you feel like we can close on your work item? Has everything either been turned into an issue or a discussion in the appropriate places? Can we call that work item closed at this point?
Yes, Joe, that's closed now. I have added issues for everything.
Fabulous. Thank you much. So we can say we've shipped our first work item, even though it's it didn't end up as a document. I think this is a worthy example of, you know, what sometimes can emerge, which is have all of the content move to its appropriate places. So very much appreciate your leadership in this, David. There is an opportunity here real quick if anybody wishes to, has an update on a work item that they feel like they want to talk about now. We are going to be talking about the data minimization and data verification suites later. But if you wanted to add something, please let me know. Okay, I'm not hearing anybody speaking up, and I'm not seeing anything in the queue. So we're going to move on to Crypto Tuesday. So again, the purpose of Crypto Tuesdays is to dive a little bit deeper into the cryptography that we use, encourage various cryptographers and other people to participate, and focus their feedback on the privacy, security, and cryptographic requirements of our standards. To that end, we started a draft on a data minimization and selective disclosure document. It is still in a draft form. And in fact, why don't you go ahead and switch off with Manu and Lionel. Switch off with Manu and tell us about it. And then I guess there's some confusion because there's two different versions in different places. So tell us about which one and sort of where we are at in the process. And then let's talk a little bit about, then I'll begin a dialogue. So.
Okay, so Lionel, I'll put in can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so first I'm going to paste in the two links, as you said. The first one is the one that we're migrating towards because it's the CCGs. The second one is where the stuff was born at Rebooting Web of Trust in Boston. And I guess I encourage you to open those if you like. I think we'll be best served by my flying over what's there and pasting in here a few of the main issues and goals. So I've opened the first one, and the title is Engineering Privacy for Verified Credentials, in which we describe data minimization, selective disclosure, and progressive trust. And those are the three key words for this group. I think rather than I think a really great outcome would be to get the community to define, to get definitions around these in the same process that we've been following to do the DID specs and all the other work that we do together. The other focus, and this accords with Crypto Tuesday and why this paper is part of cryptography and focus on the cryptographic agenda, is that we're really trying to move forward one of the implied processes. I'm going to try to make overt now something that I think has been implied by the work that we do, which is that we're trying to engage more stakeholders, civic leaders, organizational leaders, people who never commonly thought of themselves as understanding cryptography at all, to try to understand the basics in the same way that as the automobile penetrated society, even, you know, the average driver can change the oil, you know, change a flat tire, and understand what a carburetor is. So this paper has these three terms, which I'd really like to drive towards consensus, data minimization, selective disclosure, and progressive trust. But it has this background agenda to really try to accustom people to talking and reading about cryptography. So I'll take reactions on that introduction, and then I'll go into the three topics. Any reactions or discussion? Okay. So going back to the document, then, and I'd like to, as I said, focus on those three terms. So I see some kind comments in the IRC, so thank you for that. So part of the main work here is to define these terms. The reason why this will be very useful is because I'm finding them useful, I have to tell you. They're managing to bring the privacy enhancement strategies down to three different critical vectors. I'm a real physics guy, and you know, like anyone also involved in anthropology and social sciences, I think of physics as real science. And there you have this difference between matter and energy, you know, between velocity and acceleration. And it's nice when we can get those kind of really good, almost orthogonal differences between words that help us accomplish our aims. And I feel like we're going in that direction with this, and I find it a little exciting. So the first definition is very much a policy kind of definition. And here's where it's a little frustrating. The CCG Git doesn't have the latest wording. So I'm going to paste the latest wording from the rebooting Git into the IRC. Data minimization, we're thinking, should focus on the policy, should focus on the human motivations, the organizational tendencies. It should actually be a non-technical word. Data minimization is if you don't need it, don't use it. Or as KD said, minimum data for maximum value, something like that. The next term is where we want to roll in the technical stuff and the crypto stuff, and this is selective disclosure. So we're calling that the means by which data minimization is achieved. And we find that also useful. You get these three terms, and they relate to one another. And then the third one is progressive trust. And here, maybe going a little bit back to that physics thinking, this is like behavior over time. This is how we expect that our digitally powered relationships enable types of interaction where we trust some company or some other person more and more, and we give them more and more access to our data, and vice versa, of course, that we can dial that back. So I've kicked off the discussion with these three terms, and I'd like to get some feedback and see if the community wants to engage on this voice on this call, or maybe we'll decide to keep working in writing. So who's in the queue? Well, let's go. I think, Christopher, you're first in the queue, so you're first to speak.
Yep. Okay, so yeah, I had suggested that we clarify these terms because there was, at least for our own usage, because there was a disconnect between some of the cryptography uses of it and some of the security uses of it. Also, you know, when I tried to do some research, for instance, on data minimization, I kept on finding documents out there that referred to that data minimization was a requirement, but then didn't actually specify various strategies for data minimization, which was frustrating. So tried to have some clarity in that. I suspect as we have more cryptographers and people involved in the security cryptography community that we may need to, you know, to clarify some of these definitions and reconcile them. But one way to describe it is, you know, you have you could say you have a complete copy of your own persona. So, you know, all the verifiable claims about yourself. Data minimization allows, is the techniques that we would use to allow us to only give those portions that we, you know, that are absolutely required for the work process to various parties. Selective disclosure adds cryptography to that to allow us to do blind naming and other different types of techniques. Where we're doing giving people partial information, but in a blinded way, such that it has some additional capabilities. And then finally, progressive trust is sort of the feedback of that. Somebody basically goes, "Hey, you know, I need to know more, and how do they ask for more?" So these all kind of fit together. So I would like to be really clear on these, have a good paper for this that we can publish and share with the community as far as, you know, what are some of the strategies of data minimization, what are some of the strategies of selective disclosure, and what are some of the strategies of progressive trust. So I appreciate Lionel getting this bootstrapped, but I hope we can dive deeper into it. Jan, you're next in the queue.
Thanks. So I guess two comments for now. So the first comment regarding data minimization and how it can be achieved, I think it's sort of important to point out that like the minimal disclosure is like not the only way really to achieve data minimization, because it also heavily depends on an application or on a business process. So, for instance, like social security number is a good example. So many people used social security number as a key in the database so that they would know, okay, so that's a unique number I have for a person, so I use that as a key, not realizing actually that that's a very bad thing to do and that they should derive something else. So I think it's sort of important to point out that just using this technology by itself does not achieve anything. You need to redesign your business processes or your application in order to really get the data minimizing application. So that's the first point.
Okay.
Yeah, and which is, like, I guess, in some sense more philosophic, but I think it's sort of important to point it out. The second point is, so when we talk about selective disclosure, so there's one thing that you have your credential that can selectively reveal your attributes. So that's one thing that the crypto needs to provide. But the other thing is also when we talk about credentials, so we say, okay, we have a credential, it has verifiable claims, but then sort of not try to mix up sort of the item I receive from an issuing party, which might be, let's say, my electronic identity card, so that's a credential. And then the item that I sent to, I guess, an inspector or a relying party, and, I mean, the way you do selective disclosure or you use crypto, typically you sort of transform or the item that you send to the inspector would very often be obtained by sort of using a zero knowledge proof on the credential or the verifiable claim that you received from the issuer. And I think it would be helpful to somehow give those two artifacts different names, just to make it very clear that there's one artifact that you obtain from your issuer, from your identity provider, and there's another cryptographic artifact that you send to your inspector, to your relying party, and then there's a cryptographic transformation between those two, and that transformation sort of implements the selective disclosure principle. But I think that could be helpful to sort of for people to understand the difference between the two better.
Thank you very much. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm gonna paste my notes. This is just feedback for Lionel. This looks great. One item is I would move the extraneous definitions later in the document, and my extraneous edit, they may in fact be extraneous, but you have the great introduction, and then you don't go to the specific three terms. And then I really liked, and I was just resonating with what I just posted, this one of these is about policy, one of these is a technical mechanism, and then the third, to me, spoke as UX, right? It was about optimizing the human experience. You can do it or not do it. It's not going to violate privacy. It's just better if you do it. So I just wanted to give that feedback and get it in the mix.
Adrian, you're next.
Hi, Lionel. This and everybody. This is a great start. I love the way you separated it out. My question specifically has to do with the duration of storage of whatever claims are. So, in other words, one aspect of minimization is you can't store whatever information you're getting, you're going to have to come and ask for it again. And related to that, transparency, so that if somebody does store some aspect of my identity, I can go back and see what it is that they have. Are these two dimensions in scope for this document?
I mean, I would certainly say yes. This is still pretty early. So part of what started all of this was selective disclosure in the cryptography community has always been kind of a zero knowledge technique. But in the sort of broader identity community, I kept on hearing examples of people demonstrate, talking about things that were and calling it selective disclosure when in fact they were data minimization. One way that I've heard it, that I've used when I've tried to explain it is, I can certainly go to a bar and using data minimization only give them some kind of verifiable claim on my that I'm over 21. I can do that just directly. I don't need to do any cryptography for that if I have an issuer that has a statement that says I'm over 21. Selective disclosure sort of takes that up a notch and allows me to have the issuer give me a date, but then me give something else, which is I'm over 21, using that cryptographically. But the other side of it is with the first example where I just said, DMV says, I'm over 21, or some authority says I'm over 21. There's also potential correlatability in there where they could basically give that to the drugstore next door and the shipper next door to that and combine all of my information. So data minimization helps, but with the addition of some of the selective disclosure technologies, anti-correlation technologies, we can now blind that in such a fashion that the bar can't take my information, which I've given them, and combine it with the information with, from the shipper that was next door or somebody next door to there that has my phone number. It may be too broad. Maybe there needs to be, anti-correlation as separate from selective disclosure, or selective disclosure, should be itself split up as Jan was talking about. I'm not sure what the best way to describe it. But in general, for this broader community, I'm thinking of selective disclosure as the various cryptographic techniques. Then we get to the progressive trust, which is much more how people trust. SSL had this as kind of one of its fundamental principles. You started off with very little trust. You then upgraded to add confidentiality. You then could upgrade to identify one party, identify both parties, et cetera. But it's sort of progressively being more and more secure as you were willing to do things. And that worked really well because the marketplace basically decided you didn't need to go to the perfect forward secrecy with non-repudiation and all parties identified to each other, which was possible with SSL but was very expensive. The marketplace decided that no, it was that at least in the early days it was good enough that the server identified itself. So, we want to, enable that kind of progression over time. Let's see, Q. Manu, you're next.
Thanks, Lionel, and everyone else that worked on this. It is a great start. I wanted to point out something that, I don't think it's going to be a surprise to anyone. I'm concerned about what we're saying selective disclosure can do, meaning the cryptography itself can do. And I think when we talk about it in a vacuum fairly often, where we say, hey, it's mathematically possible to prove things in zero knowledge, and here's how you do it. And all of that is true. All of that is correct in a vacuum. Right. When you actually deploy these systems out into the real world and you have other identifiers that people just naturally have as a consequence of interacting, for example, email addresses, browser fingerprints, MAC addresses, GPS locations, all of these things, they actually are actively harmful to selective disclosure, to the point that it's fairly trivial to completely defeat the selective disclosure mechanisms that we're talking about. So, one of the things that I've been consistently concerned about is that, when we talk about these, cryptographic tricks, we talk about them in a vacuum. And in reality, I don't think we have systems that have large-scale deployment where we can prove that selective disclosure actually works. Again, to underscore, I think it's, we want these things to work out. Everyone wants the same thing. But there is a danger that we give people a very false sense of security. And if we do that in the wrong way, through the papers that we're creating, through the, how this community talks about selective disclosure, it is definitely going to come back and bite all of us, right? The people that are doing the work, the companies that are trying to roll this stuff out into production. So I want to make sure that, at least in this document, we have a section about, the dangers of other data that flies along beside these selective disclosure transactions. And if we don't have proper separation between that data and the information being selective disclosed, that is a form of passive, if not active, attack on the crypto. So clearly we need to talk about it in the privacy and security consideration sections of it. I our long-term position has been that we don't believe it is currently possible to use this stuff at scale in a way that truly protects people. So we really need to be careful about what we're saying in the specification.
Moses, you're next.
Hi. Thank you. I just wanted to point out that it's really good to name something that people want. So I think that data minimization sounds like, to the general public, that it's something that addresses information overload in general and doesn't promote the benefits of it strongly enough. And I think that we should consider terms like identity security or, you know, data leakage prevention, something like that that would be more descriptive and would immediately be wanted by the general public to get support. That's it.
Thank you. Drummond, you're next.
Yeah, I just, although I understand Manu's point, and I think if you mix systems that are designed to introduce pairwise synonymous identifiers and selective disclosure capabilities with systems that don't support that, you're going to have a mess. I want to strongly voice the opposite view that we are building infrastructure with the technologies that we're focused on here in the Credential Community Group that will, for the first time, enable wide-scale, broad-scale, global-scale support for pairwise synonymous identifiers and selective disclosure. And those systems are needed, especially by new products and services that are going to be compliant with regulations like GDPR. And you know, we maybe it's true, I'm very involved with sovereign infrastructure, sovereign technology, SOVRIN, that you know we're excessively focused on that area, or we're heavily focused on that area. But the demand is there. The need is there to introduce solutions that really have to be, you know, for which this is a requirement. And we're seeing a lot of examples of that. And so I think the fact that correlation is so deeply, entrenched in existing solutions is not a reason to say that we should not, proceed and try to start to build infrastructure that is non-correlated. I don't think that's exactly what Manu is saying, but I worry that, just saying correlation is deeply embedded, is going to prevent us from going ahead and actually making it possible for that to happen, because there is real demand for it. Some of it is coming through, you know, regulatory requirements like GDPR, and some of it is coming through just companies and individuals getting smarter about the advantages from a relationship standpoint to move through progressive disclosure rather than the constant threat that you're being surveilled. That's it.
Thank you. I'm next in the queue. So we have to be, as Hart just said, we have to, be clear about side channels and other, correlators, MAC addresses and things of that nature. But those, to a certain extent, I mean, we need to warn people about them, but we're responsible for our layer, and our layer needs to not contribute to correlation to the other layers. I also don't necessarily agree that there isn't something in place I'm looking at Lightning. The Lightning network on Bitcoin uses Tor-style circuits for everything, is very carefully designed for some to minimize correlation, down to a very deep level. They do have areas where they need people to be able to make verifiable claims about products and services that are offered on the Lightning Network. So they've got this underlying confidential infrastructure, and they need to make sure that the next layer up doesn't break that. So you know, these are all, you know, so I mean, I think that, you know, we have a role. I do want to move to the next agenda item, which is a quick review of the suites, because I think there's a very good example of a data minimization suite and a very good example of a selective disclosure suite that can help clarify some things. So I'm going to close the queue then, after Manu.
Excuse me,
Joe.
Can I?
Go ahead.
This is Lionel just piping up. So since you're about to close the item, I just want to point out we discussed the three terms, and we're about to take some more feedback, and it's been excellent feedback. I just want to remind people I also discussed this overall challenge of trying to discuss the real cryptography behind the selective disclosure. So I hope people, well, we can engage with that maybe on the next Crypto Tuesday call. Maybe people will get it involved offline by commenting directly in the Git or by email.
Okay, thank you. Manu, you're next. And then last will be Drummond.
Right. Yeah, so just to, you know.
I mean, sorry.
Sorry. I don't think Drummond's, again, surprised by our position on this. It's been fairly consistent. I'm not saying you're putting words in my mouth, Drummond. I think there's no doubt that there's a demand for this stuff, for doing, you know, the vision of selective disclosure. There's no doubt that that exists. My concern is in overpromising at the wrong time, is in, you know, accidental side effects. It's in side channel attacks. And, you know, to date, again, I don't think we've seen anything that suggests that the side channel attacks are not going to happen, right? So I completely buy the argument that, like, again, I said, you know, in a vacuum, this stuff works. If we were building services entirely on top of a selective disclosure, ground level thing, that would work. But I cannot think of any time in the last 30 years where a technology got out into the market like that, where you had this completely new platform that had no interaction with the outside world, where people entirely built that thing on top of that new platform. I mean, some could argue that, oh, well, you know, Bitcoin is kind of that, but it's going to inevitably touch existing systems with correlatable identifiers, and when that happens, we need to understand, or at least say that we saw it coming and we warned people not to do it, and the people that are doing it are not heeding the warnings that we wrote about, rather than not having written the warnings in the first place. And made that kind of the rhetoric that we're kind of espousing. I think this is a good, healthy discussion for the community to have. It doesn't mean that the folks that are building this stuff out should stop. I mean, the contrary, the demand is there. We really do need this technology. I'm just very concerned about overpromising on something that has to do with security and privacy.
Okay. So, Drummond and Joe, I do want to move on to the next item, so if you can keep your comments short. Thank you.
Sure. I think I'm next. Is that right?
No, I think Drummond is.
Okay. Go ahead, Drummond.
Drummond, are you on mute? Drummond dropped. Oh. Okay, so Joe, go ahead.
Okay, I want to speak against the hype. So we need to keep fighting this fight for selective disclosure. It's the right approach, and there will be more approaches. But I am, you know, this last week I had this whole Twitter thing that Kalia Young kicked off. And, you know, in part of it, people were arguing with me about things that they heard from others in the community that they thought I was saying, right? So we need to be very careful when we have some awesome new step in the technology that we don't present it as a silver bullet for everything. And actually, Manu, I think you're not quite correct in that even if we had a system that had selective disclosure and that was everything was using that, we would still have information being collated by the receiving parties who are doing their running their business, and their business is to deal with the information in the payloads. And in those cases, that information can be combined to break some of the expectations that we thought we were getting with selective disclosure. So, you know, to me, it's more about data hygiene. It's about what you can do. And I'll just try and keep you short because I don't – that's all. Okay. I just want to keep you short, so I'll let it go.
Thank you very much. So I think this is a good place for me to bring in the next agenda item. So everybody should take a look at this list of digital verification suites. So these are what have been proposed so far. I think the only one that is, you know, really solid at this point is the RSA signature suite. And maybe the 2016 COBLA elliptic curve suite. I think all the others are, either, I'm wrong here. But anyhow, as far as implementation, we have an RSA signature suite, we have an elliptic curve suite. What I really wanted, though, to talk about was some of these other suite proposals. In particular, I'm intrigued by the redaction signature suite. So the idea behind the redaction signature suite is that, you know, in our canonicalization of graph data, we end up with a list of quads. And the idea it would be to hash those quads individually and then hash the hashes. And the particular thing is that this is not selective disclosure. What this is it enables data minimization. So what that means is that as the bearer of one of these, a credential that is signed or a verifiable claim that's signed by that particular suite, they could choose to only give a minimal number of attributes if there are many. The party that receives it can verify that the issuer did send that. They would know that, you know, only one of the five items or whatever number of items that are in there are verified, but it is verifiable. That contributes a lot to enable data minimization, and you know, I could maybe even argue that something along this line, may not just be this particular one, should maybe even be kind of our minimum recommendation in a signature suite. It doesn't prevent correlation, doesn't prevent a number of different things, but it is imminently analyzable. Meaning, you know, we can, it requires some nonces and some other things right now that are not defined in it to be properly secure, but I believe that it is something that we could reuse, secure, and could add significantly to meeting the data minimization basics. And I also think it has some real consequences on APIs and protocols, because now what that means is anybody who wants to be able to support that suite, the verifier code basically has to come back and say, hey, you know, not everything was verified. Only the stuff we needed was verified, which is a sort of a different, you know, result code in our libraries than, oh, this object is verified, you know, true or false. Instead, it's this object is verified true, and it has the particular data that we wanted was in there or not in there. We can contrast that with the much more complex pseudonymous signature suite, which uses you know, selective disclosure and, you know, is being, you know, which is, you know, not even really a draft yet, but it's, you know, uses CL signatures and things of that nature. So, which will be a lot harder to do, a lot harder to get multiple interoperable implementations, et cetera. So, you know, my goal for this agenda item is, you know, to kind of look through these items and these data verification things and go, you know, where should we be putting our efforts in? You know, I see some, you know, questions in regards to, you know, I mean, you know, the fact that they're suites, there might be some people wonder, well, why can't you choose what curve you use arbitrarily? There's also time signatures, et cetera. So I'm going to open up the queue for questions and comments. Manu, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to, so this is, has to do with the comment that you made, you know, where is our focus best placed? I wanted to mention that, you know, the linked data proofs and signatures and the suite stuff, these are not W3C official international standards or recommendations right now, right? So, you know, we're building on top of things that have not gone through the W3C process. Most of the people in this group don't seem to care all that much that they haven't gone through the process, but I think it's very important that they do, right? I mean, we need more cryptographers to take a look at it and poke holes in it. You know, we in the latest revision, we are not we're using kind of the Jose JWS stuff as the signature, you know, format. It's kind of very deep in there, but you know, it's quote unquote not inventing new crypto. So I'm wondering if there's a part of Crypto Tuesdays where we kind of push together the stuff that folks are already kind of taking for granted, specifically linked data proofs, linked data signatures, the RSA signature suite, and the Koblitz signature suite, and at least get those moving down the international standardization pipeline before or in parallel with us working on some of the more forward-looking stuff like the CL signatures and the redaction signature suite stuff. So I'm just kind of putting that out to the group to see if there's if there's interest in helping push that stuff forward.
Joe, go ahead.
Sure. So I just want to say, yes, there's definite interest, especially speaking as a chair, as I saw Kim also chime in. And the question for you, Manu, is what's the best way to do that? So we put in our work item, you know, that we want to do something with regard to these suites. And I don't know if that's really just documenting them or getting them so they can be reviewed by the tag or the process might be to get them standardized.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of all of that. I think the thing that we need the most are implementations, like multiple interoperable implementations. So, you know, if for those of you that were on the call last hour, we're getting to that stage where we need implementations and you know, multiple of those from people outside of this community, inside the community, and test suites. You know, until that starts happening, we're not going to be able to push this stuff that much further than it's already gone. So that's kind of one of the if we had some place to focus, that would be it, right? The other thing is, you know, to start any kind of working group, you need use cases, you need a tag review, you need security, you know, security folks to come in and review the specs as well. So that's kind of what we need for the next step. And the hope is like Crypto Tuesdays, we'll be able to attract cryptographers to take a look at these, you know, the suites and the mechanisms that we're using, and just, you know, get us to the point where we get more and more and more review on it, from people that call themselves cryptographers for their day job. And once we have that in line, then it'll be fairly easy to put it into the W3C process and get it through. But here's the other bad thing about crypto, right? So it's really hard to get crypto through standardization organizations because the number of companies that want to devote the time and money to get it through those processes is is there are not a lot of those folks on the planet. So, I mean, you know, we need a good solid core of like 15 companies to push some of this stuff through like we do for the verifiable credential stuff and things of that nature. So next steps are implementations and then, you know, update the specs accordingly, and then basically build a set of companies that are going to take this thing through the REC process, whether it's at IETF or W3C or elsewhere.
Okay. So, Manu, I'm concerned about not – I believe that we should take on the redaction signature suite, and, in fact, I think we should make it a priority. So let me explain why. Right now, if you emphasize the RSA signature suite, the COBLIT suite, whatever, fundamentally there's going to be the argument of, oh, well, there's already the Jose standards, there's already whatever. So what's unique and special that we have that they do not have is graph data, the linked graph data. So I'm not talking about necessarily JSON. I'm not talking about it's that anything that does link graph data, has an advantage if it's signed by standards that understand it. And the only one that really takes advantage of it, that takes advantage of the graph data, is the redaction signature suite. And I think that makes us have a much stronger position when we go to various other parties and go, well, there's a reason why we can't use Jose. And one of the biggest reasons is this data minimization requirement that we have, and we can support it with the redaction signature suite in the future when we have more time with these selective disclosure suites, et cetera. So, I mean, I have a personal agenda item, which is not a group agenda item, that, you know, that might be the real sweet leverage point where we can persuade people to dive into making these a standard as opposed to Jose. Next in queue. So nobody else is in queue right now. It's 9:59. Manu, do you want to, do you think that I'm wrong with my supposition? Because you had proposed a smaller list.
I would. I think if you use that line of argumentation, the counter argument to that is, you can already do this stuff in Jose. The only thing that you're missing is converting it into some kind of quad format that can be hashed, right? So the thing that's missing with JWS and Jose, and this was on purpose, was normalization, data normalization. So that's a missing piece. If you had data normalization, you'd just be able to do it in Jose. Granted, if you just do that, you still have the whole semantics issue. You have no idea what any of the data means. You have issues with, cross syntax portability, meaning like the same signature can't be used in an XML expression and a CBOR expression and a JSON expression. Those are the real benefits of kind of the, linked data graph stuff. So,
but you don't believe the partial information is, I mean, that's something that very explicitly you cannot do with Jose.
You could do it with Jose if you had some kind of normalization mechanism that would normalize out into a list and you could redact it. So that's my concern is like you're saying, well, you need to use linked data to do that. And the response is like, no, you don't. You can just normalize into a list and here's how you do it. And therefore you don't need, linked data signatures. I think that will be the response because the folks that are using Jose and JWS believe in like a fully JSON world. Like, it's just JSON, right? That is what the data format is. You use JSON, full stop. Whereas, you know, the linked data signatures stuff doesn't make that assumption, nor does it make the assumption that you don't need to normalize. We say you do need to normalize.
Right.
Anyway, I think it would be fairly easy to knock the legs out from under that argument if you use that. That's not to say that just data minimization on its own, that's a very useful thing. But I think that may be a separate concern. The other concern I have with the redacted signature suite stuff is, like, you know, that's something Dave and I put together and we have like zero free time. So moving it forward, somebody else would have to take over that spec.
Yeah. Which would so I guess great. I'm going to put a quick call out to people. If you're interested in the data minimization redaction suite, let me know. At this point, you know, I personally have a fairly strong feeling that this is could be an important leverage marker for us, that we don't have consensus on that. We do have to have the COBLITs and the RSA suites reviewed, and there are questions regarding nonces and other different things in those suites, such that we need, cryptographic review of the high-level thing, we need security review of the code, et cetera, of the two suites that we already have. So, those definitely will be topics of future meetings. But I am, if there are other people that are interested in the redaction suite, please let me know, and then we can propose that maybe in the future. Okay, so that's it for today. Next week's meeting is going to be on OCAP and object capabilities and verifiable claims based on a proposal by Christopher Weber and Mark Miller at the last rebooting Web of Trust. Thank you much today, and in a month we will have our next Crypto Tuesday. Thanks.